This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Clemson, a big winner last night, snapping the ACC bowl streak. As far as losses go, tough day for Virginia Tech. We talked about North Carolina and South Carolina getting together later this morning, God willing. And, of course, we are here because it's the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. That means Pitt and Michigan State. We'll talk about that a bunch. But, Kelsey, we also had hoops going on. And it's that time of the year, a little bit of everything that's happening. A couple conference games last night. First non-conference game, though, was Syracuse taking care of business and beating on Cornell. And the old Bayhound boys are starting to light it up a little bit.
Continuing to light it up. I think those guys are impressive week in and week out. And you see what Buddy's done. We knew what to expect with him. But now you've got his brother there as well. So, Pack, it's been fun to watch them. And I know it's fun for Coach Boeheim to have both of his boys there, as much as it's about so much more than that with this team. But the success that they've been having, obviously, so far, 7-5 this season, has really had a lot to do with what the Boeheim brothers are able to do.
Yep, Buddy puts 22 on the board last night. Syracuse beats Cornell 80-68. We also had two conference games last night. Louisville and Wake Forest went back and forth and back and forth. The Cardinals prevailed, though. They win by four late at home. It was good to see Malik Williams back doing his thing. And for the Deacs, they've been a really cool story so far this year in the ACC.
Got to do halftime of this game from football yesterday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which was fun when you talk about everything going on at once. Wake Forest was up at the half, up five at the half, and Louisville able to come back and battle back, and good for them getting it done at home. This is a Louisville team that I think is still kind of finding their identity and figuring out who they are with all the new pieces that they have this year. But Wake Forest and the start that they've been off to, I mean, only one loss prior to this to LSU. I think they had won five straight headed into that game last night. I'm really excited about the future of this Wake Forest team and what Coach Forbes has been able to do in just his short period there. And, man, Alondis Williams has been impressive.
Been great. By the way, Louisville, they've gone through the whole COVID deal. First time they had played since December 18th, trying to knock the rust off of it. But really an important one. You got to hold serve in this league when you start talking about men and the women, too. But the men's side, man, you got a home game, you better win it.
Better take advantage of it while you can. And that's why it was good to see Louisville battle back the way that they did. I think especially when it's early in the season, you've gone through some adversity, you've come off of that pause to be able to figure out a way at the end of the day to win it. And it's, you know, still to be determined just how good this Wake Forest team is. But they have, I think, early on in the season been a surprise.
I'll tell you, another pleasant surprise is Miami. And last night, Miami came back from eight down with about 11 minutes to go against NC State. And the Wolfpack continues to struggle. They're trying to find it. The Manny Bates injury was certainly a setback, but they're still trying to figure out the combination. But, man alive, what about old Miami? They're sitting there now 10-3, 2-0 in the ACC. Jordan Miller, another name that keeps popping up, scored 25 last night. Jim Larranaga was on the show this week. He loves his guards, and here they go again.
Cameron McGusty, another double-double. It's been fun to see him have success, and I think he's such a talented player that we expected a lot from in the past, Pack, and to see him come back and do that. And Isaiah Wong, too. He's a player that the guys are always talking about. We had him at ACC Media Day. It was really fun to kind of get to know him and talk to him a little bit as well. But, 91-83, the final in that one. Going to be exciting to see kind of, Pack, I feel like after January, once it is not a little bit of everything, once it is all basketball, and obviously for these teams it's all basketball, but that's when you really start to figure out who these teams are. Right now you're kind of still in the, okay, who are we? And especially with all the changes right now and the COVID pauses and so many different scheduling things happening, I think a couple of weeks ago I felt pretty good about where we were and felt like we were heading in the right direction. And now it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks.
And with the ladies, you've got six teams ranked in the top 25, and Virginia Tech could easily make it seven. On the men's side, you've got only one team, and that's Duke, who's going through a COVID pause. Their game with Notre Dame this weekend postponed, so they're going to get wiped out entirely, Clemson, Notre Dame, on their schedule. But we know what Duke's all about, but I think the rest of the league, Kelsey, I'm telling you, I'm not exactly sure what it is. I really don't. I mean, Wake's a cool story. Miami's now kind of off a good start. Notre Dame's starting to put together some wins. Syracuse starting to make some shots. You know, where's Florida State? Where's North Carolina? Where's Louisville? Where's Virginia? Clemson's been a kind of a team that's had big leads and lets them get away, even they beat up on Virginia the other night. I think there's nothing but unknowns across the board here.
I couldn't agree with you more. I wish that I disagreed with you. We know what we're getting with Duke, and that's been fun to see. I think some of the teams that we expected, Virginia, has just not
can't
been
score.
Has not been the team that we thought that they would be so far this year. So we'll see what they're able to do. Sitting, I think it's 7-5 right now, Pac. But I guess the bright side of that is it's wide open. You know, it's Duke right now, and then it's what are the rest of these teams going to be able to do with the rest of their season? And as you get really into the meat of conference play and who's really going to step up and emerge, and where do we go from here?
Here is the Saturday schedule, because it's been adjusted. I mentioned that Duke and Notre Dame
hope
were
you
scheduled.
Didn't write it down before this, because now
memory.
Just take that, throw it away,
no,
and we got a whole new
it's
line.
Like Kimberly knowing exactly where every helmet is. That's kind of how you have to do the schedules, whether it be the men's side or the women's side,
yeah.
Given this COVID deal. But here's the deal. We know that Duke at Notre Dame has been postponed, but here is your Saturday slate. Florida State on the road at NC State, the Wolfpack desperate to kind of get this thing back on track. They've really struggled here lately. Pittsburgh on the road, Virginia Tech. I really like the Hokies. I know they've gotten off to a tough start in terms of conference play, but man, I'm buying Virginia Tech still. Maybe the best game of the weekend. Maybe the best game of the weekend is the two upstarts. Wake Forest on the road at Miami. I just told you the Canes have won 6 in a row. Forbes has got the Deacs playing lights out. And then you got Virginia really having a hard time figuring out a way to get the ball in the basket on the road at Syracuse. And, of course, we talked about how, Buddy Boeheim's starting to find that stroke again. Cuse can flat-out score. Just kind of worried, though, about Virginia. And just seeing, again, Tony Bennett's teams in the past always play great defense. But offensively, it has really been difficult.
It's going to be, I think, a good measuring stick in that Virginia-Syracuse game to see what Virginia is able to do and how they respond, especially with the way Buddy's shooting the ball right now. But I'm interested in that Miami game, Pac, because I think this is a Wake Forest team that now feels like they were close in that Louisville game. They were up. They weren't able to get the win on the road. So how do they respond to the adversity that they just faced in their second loss of the season against a Miami team that gets to welcome them in at home that is hot right now, 10-3? That's the one that I would circle on Saturday that I'm excited to see how it plays out.
And, you know, scheduling always comes into play here, especially early when you're trying to form some kind of opinion on a team. Mm-hmm. You know, Miami got Clemson at home, rallied late to beat the Tigers. Mm-hmm. Last night, same to deal with NC State at home, rallied down 8 with 11 minutes to go. Now they get Wake Forest at home. So if you're Jim Larranaga, there won't be any phone calls to Jim Phillips' office in Greensboro about the way the scheduling deal works out. You get a chance to get off to a good start. But, man, you've got to win your home game. So, of all those games this weekend, that's the one that kind of pops at me. I know we still got bowls on the brain and all that stuff at our basketball segment today. If I'm sitting there having to watch one, that's the one. I'm watching Wake Forest Miami.
They've got Wake at home, then they've got Syracuse at home, then they have Duke on the road. That's on January 8th. So, hey, like you said, you've got to win at home while you can, because then you've got a tough road test coming up.
And there's so many teams with this COVID pause. And, again, college basketball kind of felt this before we went through this with the bowl season, right?
Yeah,
two or 3 weeks leading into. I mean, all of a sudden you saw the pro sports having all kinds of issues with COVID. College hoops really got hit hard, and the ACC is no different. 6 of the 12 teams will be playing for the first time in 10 days this week. That's, again, you got the holidays, you got COVID, and you got, of course, everybody got football in the brain. But here's your combination, shaking off the rust, to say the least. Look at this list. BC since December 13th, Florida State since the 15th. Seems I haven't seen the Noles in forever.
Mm-mm.
And then you got North Carolina on the 21st, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, and Virginia December 22nd. Again, I know basketball gets lost during the bowl season, but there's a real reason teams have gotten lost. COVID's been a problem.
And Pac, that's hard to do. I mean, Boston College, first time since December 13th, and Virginia Tech on the other end of that now, haven't played since the 22nd. But these teams obviously have experience with it last year and going through the protocols and figuring out, okay, well, at least now we know how to meet and we know how to do these things, and everybody handles it differently. But that's tough. It's tough when you're in the grind of the season and you feel like you have some kind of rhythm, or you feel like you're trying to turn a corner, and then all of a sudden that changes and you have to snap back to reality.
You know what, though? I think this one's harder. I'm going to tell you why. Because last year...
You expected it?
Right. Yeah. Last year we knew what was upon us, right? Yeah. You just like, hey, can we navigate through a college football season? We did. We got to the finish line. Can Can we navigate through a college basketball season as crazy as it was with all the delays and breaks? We did. We finally got to the Final Four. This year, you know, we go through a college football season, no postponements, no cancellations. Mm-hmm. There was only one game that got moved, which was SC in California, and was rescheduled for the first week in December. But I think all of us mentally were like, all right, we've kind of put this thing behind us. People were tailgating, they're having a good time. You're going out in crowds, you're watching the football games, everything's good. And then all of a sudden, bam, here comes this new variant. And college hoops, like I said, really got hit. So I think it's a little different where we're like, oh, man, are we back to the same old nonsense again? Again, we're still in a pandemic. You got to be smart. Wear the mask, all that great stuff, vaccinations. But I think this one's kind of caught everybody flat-footed a little bit.
I think, too, the side of it, Pac, is the mental side, especially for these college athletes that sacrificed so much to be able to play and to stay in their bubbles last year and to do all of these things to try and get to the point where they could just play the sport that they loved. And to your point, you knew that we weren't through this pandemic, but you felt like it was a more normal version of the season this year up to this point. And then for this to, you can't say it happened out of nowhere, but maybe we weren't expecting all the schedule changes and the way that this has panned out so far. And so I think the mental aspect of it is hard, too, because for a player that feels like, hey, we're moving in the right direction, or I'm shooting the ball really well, or I'm playing really good defense, and this is what I'm working on, and then to just have to stop all of a sudden again, it's hard on you physically, but then also hard on you mentally, because it's like, man, here we go again.
Here we go again.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham from Atlanta. Getting you ready for Pitt, Michigan State, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. We'll get to all kinds of great coverage coming up with Jimbo Covert and Heather Like and Pat Narduzzi. They're all going to stop by and have some fun with us. But, Kelsey, I probably have a little more experience than you in this next segment because we're going to go back and back in the way back machine. And some of the legendary Peach Bowl moments, all right? Peach Bowl moments. And there have been some good news and some bad news when it comes to the ACC in this game. Let's start with the good side, though, all right? How about a little Clemson LSU? It's about almost 8-9 years ago. Still remember watching this game and Taj Boyd with just an incredible pass on fourth down. Clemson comes back and wins this thing at the buzzer. But there have been some unbelievable games. But the 2012 game was one of the all-timers. Here it is, Clemson, LSU. LSU's got the lead, fourth quarter. And this guy, you might have heard of him, Nuke Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins.
I've heard of him once or twice, yeah.
He's turned out to be a pretty good pro.
Yeah.
Was a pretty good college player. But there's your game winner, a walk-off. And there's a lot of folks that will tell you that this was part of the run that Dabo went on. This was the game, in addition to that West Virginia Orange Bowl game where people went, wow, man, Clemson beat LSU in a walk-off. It was some kind of night.
2012, and that was a big one for the Peach Bowl, too, because the first time the two 10-win programs played in it, we'll get to see it again, obviously. That is actually one of the ones that I do remember, Pac, because I was around for that. I remember the Taj Boyd to Nuke and Chandler Catanzaro at the end with the field goal.
Walked it off.
He did.
Right down the heart.
I love a walk-off win.
Do you?
I do. You don't?
Well, I mean, it depends who wins.
Yeah, I guess it depends who you're pulling for. You hate it for one team and you love it for the other.
It depends what side of the field you're on.
It means it was a good game if it comes down to that. That's what you want.
Yeah, well, okay.
You want to be entertained. You know, are you not entertained,
I always
Pat?
Say that. I know I'm always the guy that says, hey, just entertain me, right? You give me a close game, I'm all for it. 1995, let's go back to Virginia and Georgia. And again, we're coming to you from Atlanta because you know this one hit to the heart when Wahoo Wah took care of business. Virginia beats Georgia 34-27. Georgia fell behind 24-6. Crazy comeback. Tie the game at 27. Then late in the fourth quarter, Virginia clinches it when old Pete Allen returned to kickoff, 83 yards for a touchdown. Game, set, match, 34-27. They win it late with a minute to go.
83 yards for a touchdown to win it with under a minute to go. How unhappy were those coaches on the sideline that allowed that to happen?
Well, you know, from an ACC perspective, that really didn't concern me whatsoever.
It was irrelevant.
I mean, that'd be a Georgia problem at that point.
We're talking about the good things right now, right?
Right. I mean, that'd be a Georgia issue.
How happy were those coaches on the sideline that they were able to run that back 83 yards?
So you weren't even born yet.
In 95? Get out of here. Get out of here.
How about 1986?
I was 1 year old.
There you go. You're the pom-poms out. You're doing your thing. 1986, Virginia Tech, NC State. Now, I know the Hokies were not in the league, right? I know. Don't go calling up, back, you don't understand Virginia Tech. There, I get it. We know how this works. But Virginia Tech wins 25-24 on another one of those.
The common theme.
Last second walk-off field. Your kind of game.
My kind of game.
Your kind of game.
As long as I'm not the kicker, because that is way too much pressure for me.
Well, you know, you're a former athlete.
Yeah.
Soccer. You've been a part
of
those.
I like to kick a field goal for fun. I'll always go.
You got
throw
that.
Off my shoes and
you
do that.
You can go right over the next door and kick a 25-yarder.
I'm glad we're talking
closed.
About this, because that brings us back to the point that you're supposed to kick a field goal today.
You know, a man of my age, you know, I don't know what kind of health.
I'll be your holder.
What kind of health benefits do we have at ESPN? Can I pull that off without being a lawsuit here at the College Football Hall of Fame? I don't want to hurt anybody.
I don't want the lawsuit either for trying to talk you into doing it.
That's exactly right.
That was a memorable one, though.
I may have to go with the Mayo bath before I try to kick a 35-yarder and hurt myself. All right, let's go to the flip side, right? For every good, there's some bad, right? How about 2007? Auburn and Clemson, the battle of the Tigers. Man, you know what? Do I have to talk about this as a Clemson alum?
Do you want me to do it?
You might have to do this.
The only overtime game pack in Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl history. Just close your eyes. Tied at 20 in overtime. 83-yard touchdown run from C.J. Spiller. But guess what? Clemson settles for a field goal, and then Auburn does that. Cody Burns, 7-yard touchdown pack. Are you doing okay? You want us to keep moving on?
No, I'm okay.
23-3 win.
You know why
for
I'm
Auburn?
Okay? I'll tell you why I'm okay. Because my alma mater for 11 consecutive years has won 10 or more.
Let's go.
And that team that won that night.
What else did they do?
Is under 500 and can't beat a Pee Wee team. That's why I'm okay with it.
And the ACC won.
Yeah.
So
that's how it works.
Clemson over here snapping streaks. We got to go more bad, though.
Yeah, 1998, Georgia, Virginia. Here we go again. Again, we just gave you the good, right? Virginia with an amazing comeback win. Here we go. I know you love an onside kick.
I actually do love an onside kick.
That's your kind of deal right there. Virginia, Georgia, this was a classic.
3 years after that game in 95 that
right.
we just showed.
So Georgia got revenge in this deal, though. That's it. Georgia says, you remember back in 95 when we just absolutely blew that one? Well, we're not going to blow this one. Well, guess what? Dogs win this one. They beat Virginia in a thriller, unfortunately, 35-33, your final.
A lot of pressure on the kickers, Pat. Very underrated.
Well, you know, given your soccer background, you always come to the defense of kickers. I get it.
I found a soccer ball on the field last night and was able to play with that. I mean, you got to do what you can, Pat.
You did?
We did.
Where did that come from?
Well, Atlanta United plays there, too.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, I
didn't
know.
Think about that.
Football.
See,
the
I got,
football.
No, I have football,
the football
on the brain. Of course,
we were looking for a football, and we found a soccer ball.
No, I will say
EJ
though,
was going to throw the ball.
I was going to say that.
And I was going to attempt to catch it.
In this league, you can talk football because
the
men and the women
Let's go.
Are the defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State takes care of business. Clemson on the men's side. We got the hardware in this league
we
from
do.
That perspective.
We do.
One other game, and I remember this vividly. Why? Because I grew up a big NC State fan. That's right. I grew up in Winston-Salem. NC State was my team, especially in the early 70s. Basketball was great with David Thompson and Tommy Burleson. Mm-hmm. Football was great because there was a guy by the name of Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
Who I loved. Had the Bucky Twins and all those guys. Well, guess what? Old NC State took on this team from West Virginia. Coached by a guy by the name of Bobby Bowden. And I remember it as a kid. It made me sick to my stomach. Bobby Bowden in West Virginia beat my guy Lou Holtz 13-10 on a cold, chilly day right here in Atlanta.
I love,
Old Fulton
I love
County
that
Stadium.
It stuck with you that much, Pac.
I still remember it. I was ticked off. And then Lou Holtz, of course, eventually left for the New York Jets. Got to be one of the worst business decisions he's ever made in his life.
Came back around. College football.
Yeah, well, I mean, he deserved to be in college football.
Yeah.
You can find him here in the hall.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure we'd
find
him a couple
Lou Holtz
times.
Here.
I think we'd find him a couple times in here.
Oh, yeah. But I remember that as a kid, though, man. It made me mad. Oh, but that old Bobby Bowden, like, man, that guy, how we lose to Bobby Bowden? What's he going to do? Turned out to be a pretty good coach.
I feel like we should have done the bad first so that we could end on a high note now. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm just having flashbacks to as a kid. I remember watching that game. Ridiculous. Bobby Bowden.
Tough pack.
All right, we still got
some good ones left, though. Some good bowl games left.
Yeah, we got three ACC teams. Mm-hmm. You got a vibe on any of them? I know you feel good about North Carolina.
I feel good about North Carolina.
How about Wake, Rutgers?
I feel good about Wake, and I feel good about Pitt.
Well, you like all three? You're going to sweep?
I do.
Really? I like the positivity. Finish off with four straight bowl wins? Is that what you're talking about?
It would be really good. I like North Carolina. We already talked about North Carolina. I feel really good about Wake because I just feel like the way that season ended, that game ended.
And you're playing Rutgers.
Yes, that as well. But the way the game went, the ACC championship, that didn't sit well with any of those guys there.
And Pitt's overdue to beat Michigan State.
Pitt's more than overdue to meet Michigan State since they never have. And I think when you look at Kenneth Walker and the impact that he had on this team and not having him, that changes a lot. Right. Obviously, not having Kenny Pickett does too.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Speaking of women's basketball, in case you missed it earlier this week, Kenny Brooks, who's the outstanding coach at Virginia Tech, joined us, and we talked about his latest road trip down to Tallahassee because it looked like his ladies were having a really, really good time.
No doubt, Mark. I tell you what, we had a fantastic showing down in Florida against Florida State. Very, very proud of the kids. Great way to send us off into the break. It was actually an early birthday present for me. My birthday was the next day, so kids came through for us.
There's nothing better than getting a big win like that going into Christmas. Everyone can have a great Christmas. You don't want a loss before that. But, Coach, let's talk about Liz Kittley. I hate to say this, Pack, but you know what? I'm going to throw it out there. I was one of the few that voted Liz Kittley preseason player of the year, and she's making me look great, Coach. I got to admit, what have you seen from Liz going from last year into this year? And, I mean, did you expect her to be this dominant so far this season?
Absolutely, Kelly. She's matured, you know, beyond her years. And the year she had last year was unbelievable in itself, because just imagine doing this job that you're doing right now, and you got two and three people in your ear talking to you, trying to prevent you from doing the best that you can do. And that's what she's doing, averaging almost a double-double this year with constant attention around her. But her maturity, she's seeing things clear. The game has slowed down for her. And not only does it benefit her, but it also benefits her teammates, because they're the beneficiaries of easier opportunities because of the tension that she gets.
Coach, before we move forward, I want to go backwards a second. College basketball has really gotten hit with the latest variant of COVID. When you sent everybody home for the holidays, what was the message and what was the concern? Because we have seen it obviously trickle into the bowl games. We've seen it in the college basketball set. That's got to be a nervous time as a coach, knowing, hey, we're doing everything we can. But when you travel, this variant is so contagious. It's a high wire act, isn't it?
Mark, it's so difficult. And after last year, you know, I think some of us have COVID fatigue. You know, last year it was a little bit different. You know, campuses were empty. We put them in a bubble. We were really able to control a lot. This year, things got somewhat back to normal, you know, where we were kind of looser with the mask variant and everything. And then all of a sudden, Omicron comes along and you're sending the kids home. And they're a little bit fatigued with COVID. And the only thing you can do is you hope and you pray, because it's really unfair to these kids and what they're going through, because we knew college is something different. You know, to be able to go out, these are the best years of your life. You get to enjoy it. And what these kids are going through right now, they should be commended, because, you know, this is not what college is supposed to be. They're supposed to go out, celebrate times with their families, their friends, be carefree, so to speak, while they're learning to grow to be adults. But we're putting all these restrictions on them, and you can't control every aspect of their life. And we sent them home. We talked to them about being careful and, you know, wearing masks with friends and family, which might seem awkward, but, you know, you just never know. And obviously with this new variant, it's so contagious that you never know what's going to happen. So the only thing you can do is just talk to them, educate them, and hope for the best.
Coach, you're right. I can't imagine having this kind of college experience. And I think that's why you saw a lot of these fifth-year seniors come back, someone like Asia Shepherd for you guys who's back in the fold. And I want to transition to my favorite topic in the world, three-point shooting. You guys are shooting 38% from three. You lead the league in made threes. And I heard through the grapevine that you're not exactly pleased with that number. You feel like you should be shooting a higher percentage. What should this team be shooting from three, Coach?
You know, Kelly, I'm very hands-on with their three-point shooting, so I know each and every one of their shots. And they shoot them at such a high clip that I never think they should miss. And so when Kayla King misses or Asia Shepherd misses, I kind of look at them like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? And but that's just how much confidence we have in the group. And, you know, with the volume that we shoot, 38% is really good. But I think that, you know, we can be better. And when we are better, we're going to be a very, very dangerous team to play. But, you know, actually 38%, there's realistically with the number that we shoot, I think that we could shoot 40 plus 42 and I wouldn't be surprised. And there's going to be a game that we're going to really take off and hit a lot of those shots, especially when people give so much attention to Liz Kittley.
Have there been surprises for you in this league so far on the ladies' side?
No. You know, and it's funny because you can pick 1 through 7, 1 through 8, and I think you could have scrambled them up any way you wanted to. You know, we were picked, I think, 4th. You know, there's a lot of teams that could have been picked 4th, and it's just going to matter what happens on a day-to-day basis. So it's just a testament to, you know, the coaches in this league, the programs in this league, the players in this league. I think the ACC was a conference that really benefited from the transfer portal. A lot of our teams in our conference got, you know, a lot better. And not just the teams at the top. A lot of teams, you know, that were picked to come at the bottom, they're much better because of the transfer portal. And it's going to make for a very exciting season. So who knows who's going to come in what? It's just going to depend on health, protocols, and then who's playing well. So it's going to be for a very interesting season.
Kenny, it's interesting you say that because we talked to Jim Larranaga yesterday and we asked him that same question on the men's side. And he thought one of the things that's hurt the men is the transfer portal. And here you are from the women's perspective in the league going, hey, it's been a benefit. Why do you think that is? Is it just one of those coincidental deals that, hey, that's just what it is?
It could be coincidence, but I also think that it's a factor that we get 15 scholarships. So we're able to, you know, maybe take a chance on a kid maybe that the men's program can't because they only get 13 scholarships. So just a different dynamic. There are a lot of recruits who they tend to want to go to the same schools a lot. And, you know, they continue to stockpile and go to the same schools, and which strengthens and bolsters other teams' benches. You know, you see a lot of teams. We're going to play against Duke tomorrow and their bench is extremely strong. They have a lot of players who can play, and they weren't like that last year, you know, and in 1 year's time, they were able to bolster not only their starting lineup, but their bench. And that's just the way that the portal is happening. And I think it's just more beneficiary in the women's side because you have more scholarships. And at the Power Five level, you know, you're going to be able to get a lot more players.
That was Kenny Brooks earlier on Packer and Durham. And by the way, the women's schedule looks as following because we've got some changes. Again, the COVID protocol, the pauses have really caused a disruption for everybody but the men and the women's side. But this is what it looks like for the ladies. Thursday schedule. Of course, you know about Syracuse and North Carolina. We've got that game for you right here on ACC Network. Then a number of 7 p.m. games. Boston College at number 3. Louisville, NC State, Westmore's team loaded again. Number 5, they're on the road at Clemson. Virginia Tech and Duke get going. And, of course, Florida State and Wake Forest. All that comes your way today. So a busy, busy hoop schedule for the ladies and some really good contests going on from that perspective.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
In Atlanta, College Football Hall of Fame. See there? That's exactly where you can find us. Dodging
right
the raindrops and everything else that's going on outside. But nevertheless, looking forward to what should be a really, really exciting Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl tonight. Pittsburgh and Michigan State.
Looking forward to it, Pack. It's team Pitt has been here since Christmas Day. Michigan State came in Christmas Eve. So up to this point, you're kind of taking it all in and enjoying everything that comes along with being in a bowl, not just a bowl, but a New Year's Six bowl, and enjoying being with your team. But everybody knows the main focus and the eye on the prize is what happens in this game tonight. And I think we're going to get a good one.
And we start getting into the New Year's Day Six games, right? It seems like the ante's a little bit higher. Yeah, it's not the college football playoff, but for teams like Michigan State, who had a tremendous year. Again, we talked about the job Mel Tucker's done. And, of course, Pat Narduzzi, who will join us about an hour from now. and Pitt with a chance to win 12 games for the first time since 1976 when they won the national championship. There is still a ton to play for when you're the ACC champs.
There is, and I'm excited to talk to Coach Narduzzi in just a little while. We'll have him here on set with us, Pack. But what this team has accomplished this season, I think, is incredible already. To win the first ACC championship, to already have an 11-win season, to have so much success, to have a guy like Kenny Pickett who came back and did so much for this program, and his name is forever in the record books there. But now to take it to the next level and to have a 12-win season potentially and to come out and beat a really good program in Michigan State, I think would just take this season to even a higher level than they have already. The ceiling is already really high for what this team has accomplished. But to be able to come out and get a win today, especially with some of the opt-outs, would be a really big deal.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think, you know, going back, I know people have talked a lot about Kenny Pickett and Kenneth Walker not playing and so forth. These guys made business decisions, just like Kenny Pickett made a business decision to come back. And, man, how did that benefit Pitt? I mean, goodness gracious, you got a guy with that kind of talent. Everything kind of came together. Jordan Addison had another incredible year, becomes the Biletnikoff winner. Offensive line was really good. Mm-hmm. The defense is salty. Hey, you don't win 11 games without having talent all over the place, being well coached. And for Pitt, it's really been kind of the perfect storm this year.
And to continue to build on the success, I think, Pack, that they've had in the past has been a really big deal, too. It's something that Pat Narduzzi, year in and year out, you know what you're going to get out of this Pitt team. You know what you're going to get out of their defense. And you know what you're going to get from their offense when Kenny Pickett is at quarterback. And I think that's one of the things that's going to make this team and this game tonight interesting, is what are we going to see from Nick Patty? Everything that you've heard from coaches and from players is that, hey, he's a great leader. He's got a great touch. Jordan Addison said, look, we've been out there practicing in finals week and throwing balls. And I think there was a day where Nick Patty said there were 3 days in a row that they a couple of them went out there and threw passes. And he said, we probably threw 150 passes and none of them were incomplete. So that was, I think, good chemistry between them. And, yeah, he hasn't started since 2019, but he's at practice every day. He's in Kenny Pickett's, you know, picking his brain every day. He's on the sideline. He's one of the first people Kenny comes over and talks to after every play. So I think it's going to be a really good game and a really good opportunity for Nick Patty.
All right, let's bring
Anchor
a Hall of
Salem.
Yeah, I got you. Let's bring a Hall of Famer on here.
Let's
he can break
do
it down because I know he's got the pom-poms out feeling good. Jimbo Covert is joining us now. He comes rolling in here. Got all kinds of Hall of Fame credentials. Got that Pitt fever. What's going on, Jimbo? What's happening?
How are you?
How are
right?
you?
Hi,
great
how
to
are
see you.
You.
Good to see you. Good Hopefully see you didn't have to swim in.
No, they got me over here with a good umbrella, so that was good.
Well, I tell you, you got to be proud, man, right? I mean, this is Pitt football, chance to win 12 games for the first time since 76, championship run in the ACC, great tradition, great history. It's kind of cool to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, I think the kids did a great job this year, and I think the senior leadership they had on this team with Kenny and all the seniors really showed a lot this year, the maturity these guys had. And, they fought back. You know, they had some adversity during the year, especially with the, loss against Western Michigan and then, Miami loss. I think they lost 2 games by 8 points or 9 points, something like that. But the kids fought back and did a great job, so really proud of them.
Hall of Famer are you in every sense of the word. And I see the jacket that you have on there, and congratulations to that. I know you had wait 2020 and then finally got to have that ceremony in 2021. And then Pac and I haven't gotten to explore here yet. We look forward to doing that. But terrific college football career, too. For you, what's it like to be back in a place like this in the College Football Hall of Fame?
Oh, it's great. I mean, when I got in, it was in South Bend. It was a while ago. And to see the transformation that they've had here in Atlanta is pretty special. I came here a couple years ago and had a chance to tour the hall and see all the exhibits and everything. And I just think they did a tremendous job. So when you can come in a place like this and see the history of college football, it's pretty cool.
How about some of the guys you had on that team? I mean, we're sitting here watching. I love watching the old tape,
yeah.
Right? I mean, goodness gracious. Forget Marino a second, man. If it wasn't for guys like you, man, Marino would be back there running for his life.
Exactly. That's why he still looks so good today.
But then you really did have a special collection of talent, though, back then.
Yeah, we did. You know, I mean, we were really lucky. I mean, we had some great players. And, I think we had four Pro Football Hall of Famers on the 80 team, which is pretty cool. And, you know, the 80 team on my offensive line, I have myself, Rob Veda, Russ Grimm, Emil Borges, and Mark May. It's a pretty good offensive line.
Boy, you know? I'm saying.
And then a couple years later, Bill Frelick and, you know, Jim Sweeney. And so we had some great, but we had Joe Moore, I think the greatest offensive line coach that ever lived. And, you know, I'm just so fortunate I got a chance to go to Pitt. My wife and I were talking about that the other day. I picked a great place and it ended up being great for me.
Talk about Joe Moore a second. Of course, you know, the offensive line's named after him. Michigan just won it this past year. Mm-hmm. But his impact on you in terms of your direction and what it turned out to be an incredible decision.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I went to Pitt as a defensive lineman, and I didn't want to switch. And I was a little bit upset because I felt I should have been playing on defensive line. I still think that. But you know, we had a vacancy at left tackle, and they were struggling to find someone who can play. So Joe came up to me and asked me if I wanted to make the switch. At first, I was a little reluctant. But then, you know, I did. And after my first practice, he said, "You're going to be an All-American someday." You know, he could have said anything, but, you know, I'd have ran through a brick wall for the guy. I mean, he was just a special guy. And, you know, he expected so much from you and wanted you to play at such a high level. And he would always say, "You want to be good or you want to be great?" And he just challenged you all the time and found something to needle you about to get you motivated. But it's pretty special.
Isn't it funny how coaches have that knack? I mean, the great coaches, they don't have to yell at you. They don't have to scream at you. It's just, hey, I've connected with you, and I'm going to challenge you. Can you handle it?
He found something to, you know, to do that with. And every year as a senior at one of our bowl games, he'd always get on the senior. You know, so he got on Russ. I saw all that, you know. And he did the same thing with Emil. So Cotton Bowl, he was trying to do that to me, but I avoided him the whole week. He said, "I'm the only guy that ever outsmarted him in 30 years of coaching."
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, talking about coaches that made a big impact, when you look at Coach Narduzzi, and we've been talking about the success that he's had and how they continue to build on last year and what they've been able to do there, how do you kind of assess the job he's done and how proud you are of this team right now?
Oh, I think he's done a great job. I mean, you know, it's tough being a coach in college football right now. I mean, you got the transfer portal. All the things that are happening with the kids these days, you know, everything, right? And it's very difficult. And I think that, some of the old-time guys that I played for, I think, would have a hard time now. And so it takes a delicate touch of, you know, being tough on guys and being demanding and, you know, expecting things back in return. But you also have to kind of go with the flow sometimes. And that's hard for a lot of guys. I think Pat has mastered that. And you can see, you know, the effect he's having on this team. And kids are really responding very well.
I always like to ask offensive linemen about quarterbacks because it's like, oh, yeah, the pretty guy's back there getting all the love. And we're out here doing all the work. Sure. These guys are getting all the headlines. Sure. But Marino Pickett, draw the parallels here.
Well, I think the two very similar is both have great leadership skills. You know, I mean, that's what's take play offensive line or defense, quarterback. You have to, you know, have that confidence that if you make a bad play, throw an interception, you have to come back and be willing to pick a guy and let it fly, like Danny says, right? And I think his first game at Pitt, he threw an interception on his first pass, almost intercepted on the second pass, third pass, a touchdown, never looked back. And I think Kenny has the same kind of gunslinger mentality. You have to have that. So I think it's confidence, and I think it's determination, but just great leadership skills, and I think that shows in quarterback.
What would we see if we got to see your team play this Pitt team?
Oh, they would be very disappointed at the end of the game.
I expected that
but
to be the
okay,
answer.
You know,
I expected
I mean,
that to
yeah,
be
the
We'll
yeah.
let them have their moment. We'll let them have their moment. But if they want a piece of us, we'd take them in the back alley and wear them out.
Yeah.
Old school, new school. They don't understand old school, right?
No, they don't. I mean, we were really lucky. I mean, we threw 34 times a game and still had a 1,000-yard rusher. So, I mean, you know, I mean, the game has changed a little bit. And, you know, the running back maybe aren't as emphasized, but makes good offensive linemen. When you can run the football, you can have a great offense. You can do a lot of different things that way.
Jimbo, people who don't live in Pittsburgh or haven't been to Pittsburgh, I don't think understand how important football is. And I'm talking about high school, college, pro. The importance of Pitt football winning an ACC title, being in a New Year's Day 6 game, having a guy as a Heisman finalist, making the parallels to your great teams from, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s, it really is important, isn't it? I mean, this is part of the fabric of what makes Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Sure. I mean, Western Pennsylvania football has such a great, steep tradition. And if you look at all the great players that came out of Western Pennsylvania, especially where I came out of Beaver County, it's a long and storied history. And I just think it means so much all the way from Pop Warner when you started playing when you were 8 or 9 years old, all the way through high school and college football. And it's a Penn State rivalry in West Virginia. I mean, it's big time. So I think that, maybe it's not as big as it was back in the 60s and 70s when all the steel mills were working and everybody was a little bit different type of area then. But it's still very important.
It's part of the DNA, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's in there. And, I was just so fortunate to have a chance to go to Pitt and could have went anywhere, but I made the best decision in the world to go to Pitt.
How much does that brotherhood and those bonds that you have with those guys continue to carry on and really impact the rest of your life?
Oh, I mean, I talked to the kids earlier this year at the luncheon, kickoff luncheon, and I just said, that's the great thing about sports. It's a great thing about football. That you meet people throughout your life that become so important to you, right? And they're lifelong friendships. I mean, I still talk to guys I played with in high school, right? And then I played with at Pitt and the Bears and, text every day. It's such an important part of your life that I think people, sometimes that don't play the sport or don't have those relationships don't really understand, Football is part of the fabric of Western Pennsylvania. It's part of the fabric of guys like, Mark was talking about. It's in your DNA. And so when it's in there, you're a football player for life. And that's the great thing about college football and pro football.
You know, though, that if Pitt keeps winning double digits like this, there's no way Penn State's going to play you. I mean, they're not going to take your phone call. There was a time you'd go, we play. You keep winning ACC titles and coming back to games like this. They're never going to return a phone call.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'd love to play. We played them every day after Thanksgiving, every year, It was fantastic rivalry. And I would like to see us play. We're playing West Virginia next year. I'd like to see us play Penn State, West Virginia, Ohio State, and have those regional rivalries because you can drive to them. The fans go there. That's what college football has to be all about. You have to establish those rivalries everywhere again because when you don't and you start playing all these goofy games, people don't really want to watch it. But if they can drive and watch games and see big games like that, I think that's
If Idaho State's coming to town, hey, great, whatever. But if it's Penn State, Ohio State, like you said, and that's what makes college football. All you got to do is walk around this place and totally understand what we're talking about.
Right. Rivalries are big. And rivalries are big in pro football, just like us and the Packers, And so any chance you can get a chance to dig them, you do, And that's what rivalries are about. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
Jimbo, 11 wins so far for this team this season, potentially 12, an ACC championship. They've accomplished so much. To play in a New Year's Six Bowl, what does it mean to the program?
Oh, I think it's a lot. I think it means a lot. And I just think that Pat and that staff has done a great job. Heather, has brought in some great people, and, she's building a great, athletic department and a great sports program at Pitt. But when you can win 11 games in college football, that's a big deal. And I don't care what conference you're in, where you're at, that's pretty good. So, I mean, we're building something special here, and we're just going to continue to try to build on this momentum and keep Pitt football on top.
All right, what's tougher? Pitt-Penn State game, Super Bowl game, or getting ready for Battle Royal? 4 years ago,
where'd you pull that one?
You got to do your research, man. We just don't show up here a bunch of pretty faces, Jimbo. Come on, what are you talking about? What was that all about? Was that crazy?
That was fun. It was fun. It was after the Super Bowl, and Vince McMahon called me up and asked me if I wanted to do it, and so I decided, I don't know, and then I ended up doing it, and I went up to see him. He said, I just want you to remember one thing, there's no Santa Claus. Don't tell people there's really a Santa Claus because they'll get anyway. So, but no, it was fun and I really enjoyed it. And I'll tell you what, I met some great guys. The wrestlers were great, and it was a fun experience to be around.
Well, you've done some great stuff. Well, listen, we appreciate your time. I know it's crazy, but I know you're excited as a Pitt guy.
Oh yeah,
because this is what you play for, right? This is what it's all about.
You bet. Yeah, we're really excited, and I appreciate that. And I'll tell you what, now on this ACC network, I'm tired of seeing us down on the, when they do the
rankings?
Not the rankings. When they do the clips and all, they do the stuff at the beginning when they have the ACC network and show us, don't put us like 7th or 8th. Now you got to put us number 1 on the highlights.
Let me tell you something.
Number 1.
There you go.
Jim, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. because you and I think you and I could do something together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and get a hold of those people up in Bristol because they're the ones that are really screwing the whole thing.
Yeah, tell them that.
But you and I could get something done.
Yeah, absolutely.
You off the top ring rope, I'll set it up.
Okay.
Again, we won't tell them about
the
Santa or anything
else
because you and I can get that done.
When they show the ACC commercial, let's put us number one.
Okay.
When they show
you got the belt, right? It's all about the hardware, right?
Exactly.
It's like wrestling. You either got it or you don't.
Exactly.
He wants to see the helmet right behind you in the basement, too, Pac.
Well, that's already there. I already got. Listen, Heather sent me the Lego pit thing, which never leaves, which is incredibly cool. And again, the ACC champs, all about Pittsburgh.
They got to be there.
You got the prime spot in the studio.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.